This is a podcast where you don't have to be perfect. You can be happy. Make your day count. Encouraging, uplifting, full of joy. You're worth more than you think. This is Entirely Unconventional, and I'm Lindsay Roberts. I pray for something miraculous to happen to you today. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Entirely Unconventional. I'm Lindsay Roberts, and we're going to do something unconventional today. I'm joining my podcast with Richard's podcast. His is Richard Roberts Expect a Miracle. So this is our duet today, and we are going to do what you guys have asked us to do, and that's answer some of your questions. If you do have some questions to be submitted, I can't answer them all, and sometimes we wish we hadn't answered any of them, but hey, go ahead, send them in to ask, ask at richardroberts.org, or make your day count, ask at make your day count, ask at richardroberts.org. So we will be more than happy to assess your questions, and some of them have been very interesting, some of them have been very challenging, some of them have been very funny.
Here's one.
So here is how we're going to get started. Richard said, here's one. That means I'm going to get the tough stuff. Go ahead.
Yes. Does God know our thoughts? And if so, why do we have to pray?
Sure. He said, first of all, I know the thoughts I have for you. So he has thoughts. We have thoughts. We're fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. He said he knows and sees everything. Of course he knows our thoughts, is my opinion of that. And why do we have to pray? We're not praying for his benefit. We're praying for ours. Mm-hmm. And the Bible's very clear. You have not because you ask not. Ask, knock, seek, say, speak. That's not for God's benefit. God, I'm sure, enjoys blessing his kids. And, you know, just like I really do like to give gifts to my children. And ultimately, it's to bless them. But I get blessed in the process just by being able to help them or do something with them or do something for them or give them a treat. Ultimately, they're blessed, but in the process, I get blessed. So I think that God is not doing that just for himself. God is trying to get something to us. He's not trying to take something from us in our lives. He's trying to get something to us.
When I think of prayer, Lindsay, I don't think of a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a dialogue. It's a conversation back and forth between God. Yes, he knows and sees everything, the scripture says. So
yep.
He knows the intents and purposes.
Thoughts and intents of our heart.
Of our heart. So yep. He knows what we're thinking.
Yep.
But I think there are times when we need to get that out of us and express it,
yeah.
Saying it.
Yeah.
Jesus talked a lot about using our words.
Yes.
If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that is a seed that you'll sow, then you can speak to your mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make the faith that's on the inside of you come out of you.
Yeah.
It's not just thinking it, it's saying it. Saying it is so critically important, and that's part of the conversation with God. So I think certainly he knows our thoughts, but we've got to get that out of us.
I believe that it also blesses us. If you let something sit inside, and you get to the point where your thoughts can, as they say, run away with you, why don't we begin to pray and give those thoughts to God and give those emotions to God and believe God that he has an answer for what we're thinking and what we're believing, and honestly give him the opportunity to correct our thoughts and align our thoughts with his thoughts. I know the plans that I have for you. They're for your good and for your evil. And not for your evil. They are for your good. Thank you. And not for evil. So God already wants to bless us with every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father above. Then why don't we say those things and begin to question the one who really does have the best answer for those things?
And for someone who is concerned about, you know, what God thinks about us,
yeah.
He makes it very clear in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health.
Correct.
Even as your soul prospers. So he wants you well.
Yeah.
He wants a communication system with you. That's why praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is so critically important in the life of a Christian. So you can communicate
better. And then you interpret back. You bypass, in a sense. There's a scripture that says that it surpasses our human understanding. When you study that out, it kind of means, the best way I can say it, is bypasses your human understanding, your
right.
human thoughts, your human reason, your human fears and worries. And it bypasses that. And if you think about it in terms of like arteries, if there's a clogged artery, you want to bypass into a good one. And so if we can bypass out of something that's evil and literally have a direct open line to God into something that's good, in a sense, that's just to me his highest and best. Why would I try and give God my answers when my answers could be really wrong? And then continue to focus on those answers when I'm focusing on more wrong.
Well, the Holy Spirit is your communication system.
I have a question. One of the questions that we're asked is, what do you think heaven is like?
What do I think heaven is like? It must be absolutely beautiful. I can only imagine gates made out of pearl, walls made out of jasper, streets made of gold. I can only imagine in my thoughts what it must be like. It must be absolutely magnificently beautiful.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's something about heaven that I would say has, I'm going to call it a glow to it. Because in my opinion, this is just my opinion, a lot of the light that we see is light that comes from the outside to us. But I think there's something about heaven that has lights coming from the inside out. It is illuminated from the inside out. I'll give you a reason why I think that. When the Lord gives me prophetic dreams, and in those prophetic dreams, I pass billboards, like I'm driving in a car past billboards. And then those billboards begin to illuminate. Mm-hmm. And as it illuminates, I'm seeing something that I hadn't seen before or hadn't thought of before. And each one that I would drive past, pardon me. I'm
God
so
bless
sorry.
You.
Thank you. Each one that I would drive past would illuminate, but it was weird. When you drive past a billboard, there's a light electrically
shines
down on it, so it illuminates the light. In these prophetic dreams, it was as though the interior of the billboard was illuminating and shining outward, not outward towards the billboard, but emanating from the interior of the billboard itself and shining out to the world.
Is that like a picture of heaven?
I think that it is. I think that there is something on the interior of heaven that we have to pay attention to that I have also seen unusually in services. Many times when we are in services, there is like what I'm going to call a glow. Mm-hmm. People might say in the world an aura.
Yes.
There is something that is surrounding a person or a congregation or a certain particular area. This may sound strange to people. When I first saw it, I thought it was strange to me. But Richard was preaching at a camp meeting, and in that camp meeting there were thousands and thousands of people. And the leader of the camp meeting said to Richard, I want you to get up here and say what you're seeing. And do you remember you were seeing like a cloud? I'm going to call it, in Lindsay's own words, a glory cloud. Yes. That's the only way I know how to depict what it was. And as you begin to call it out, there was something happening in that, I guess you'd say, section where the cloud was hovering over. People were being healed. People were experiencing the joy of the Lord. People were being set free. And you weren't really saying anything or preaching anything. The cloud of God's presence was hovering over it. And I think that's the same way in heaven. There is such a presence of God that in our humanness, I don't think we can describe it.
I was preaching once in New York City for Pastor Creflo Dollar and his wife, Taffy. And during the healing service, as I was conducting the healing service, suddenly there was a cloud of glory that came into that room. Mm-hmm. Their services they have services in several cities, but in New York City, they're up in the Bronx in a beautiful old theater that was built way back in the early 1900s. A magnificent old theater that's been converted into a church. Seats about 4,000. Mm-hmm. And it was nearly full. And all of a sudden, I saw this glory cloud come in like through my left side of the building, followed by angels who were in the air, and they had baskets on their arms.
You'd never seen anything like that before.
I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And I began to describe what I saw, and I was weeping as I said it. And they were taking what looked like little doilies that you put on the corner of a chair. And they were dropping them, and they were landing on people's heads. And I saw on the doily was the word healing. And people were being healed. And I was saying that when Taffy Creflo's wife, stood up and said, I see the same thing, which was a confirmation to me that I wasn't crazy. I was really seeing something in the spirit. Things like that happen from time to time. And the closer we get to God, I think the more those things happen.
Did you think it was weird?
Well, I thought it was very strange, mm-hmm. but it was heavenly. It was like heaven come down to earth.
The things that the world calls, let's say, foolish, the Bible says, does confound the wise. And I think that in all honesty, we don't, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. Mm-hmm. We think we have so many answers. We think artificial intelligence is going to tell us everything. You know, it's like when people built the Tower of Babel, which I'm not making a comparison to, but when people built the Tower of Babel, they truly thought that they could get up there and confuse God. Well, to be honest with you, or they could, you know, outdo God or get higher than God or say more than God or whatever it is, you know, to be honest with you, until I have sat in the seat of creating the heavens and the earth. You know, remember when God said to Moses, were you there when I sculpted the mountains?
Yeah.
I wasn't. And so I think I don't have any right to tell God my opinion of something because I'm not God. Now, what I can do is ask God his opinion of something and for him to show it to me in a way that he can confirm it in my spirit. The Bible says your spirit, not necessarily your thoughts, your spirit will bear witness with the spirit of God. We worship God in spirit and truth. God is not a man that he should lie. He is a spirit. And out of that spirit, we're a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. I believe God as a spirit communicates with us through our spirit man. How? In prayer, of course. And then we process it through our soul, sometimes good and sometimes wrong, through our mind, our will, our emotions. Even in the natural things we process through our soul, we may process wonderfully and we may not. And then our physical bodies can walk out, the daily living of what we are processing through our soul and spirit. When that begins to happen and we make it devoid of God and we become God to ourselves, you know, I could see how that would work for about 12 seconds, and then I'd start messing everything up, and probably not even 12 seconds, probably a nanosecond. I'm not God. But what I can do is attach myself through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ. And when I understand that the Lord is my shepherd, and he's the one that directs me, guides me, guards me. When I understand that I have an opportunity to connect to the creator of the universe, why would I think I could do better than that? And I really believe that heaven is an extension of where we are here on earth. And the closer we get to God through reading his word, through prayer, through fellowship with God, the closer we get to understanding what heaven is like and even experiencing mm-hmm. some of that heaven on earth.
We used to sing an old gospel hymn, heaven came down and glory filled my soul mm-hmm. when at the cross my Savior made me whole. Yeah. All right, here's another question that was submitted to me. Why do we say amen at the end of our prayer?
Well, amen actually translates, so let it be written, so let it be established. And to me, you know, I have kind of a legal outlook on some things. I was pre-law in school. I went to law school for enough time.
She's really smart.
No, but I'm saying you understand.
No. She's really smart. She got really, really high scores on these. And when Richard made a 70, there was rejoicing in my house.
Ha ha. You're smart just in other ways.
I got an A in recess. Well, I got A's in music, and I got A's in gym.
There you have it. So see, there's our whole life right there, recess, music, and gym.
And did pretty good in English and geography and history. But math and science, forget it. She got A's in everything.
Richard, there was a thing where the homework was sent home and you could ask your parents or somebody at home to help you on your homework. And it was like, it was kind of like a take-home test, but it was more like kind of get your family to participate in teaching you, really. And it was a cute little assignment. And Richard's was on mathematics, and I think it was Chloe and Richard.
Chloe.
And do you remember what you got?
Yes, I helped her with it, and she got a 9.
Out of 100.
She's in like the 5th or 6th grade. She got a 9.
She got a 9.
She said, Dad, I'll never ask you for help again. I said, thank you.
You got a 9. But he tried.
Listen, listen, she went to school joyous, loving it. I went to school dreading it every minute.
I loved
minute
every
of it.
Second of it. Somebody asked me, hard was law school or what did I think of law school? I said it was a blast because I enjoyed what I was learning. But going back to the original question, what does it mean? Amen. It's like the seal of a contract, making it a legal, in a sense, like a legal prayer, a legal document, in a sense, with you and God. Amen. So let it be written. So let it be established. That's why you say amen. Let it be established between you and God that this prayer is sealed with heaven's authority and your faith. And to me, I have to say amen to it or it's not finished. If you don't sign the contract, it's really not finished. It's a great contract maybe, but it's not finished.
Do you remember in the old movie, The Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Charlton Heston.
Yes.
He plays the part of Moses. And
yes.
Yul Brynner plays the part of Ramses, the son of the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Every time a law was established, you'd hear Pharaoh say, so let it be written, so let it be done.
Has to be done.
That was amen.
That's amen. That's right.
So let it be written, so let it be done. That's why we say amen.
If you were to...
And sometimes my dad would say amen and amen.
He would say amen and amen. You want to double it, make sure it was right.
Yeah.
If you were to ask God for something scripturally, biblically, to be a superpower, what would it be? I already know my answer.
A superpower?
Yeah. And you can interpret superpower however. You want me to tell my answer and then you can.
Sure.
My answer is wisdom. And I'm going to tell you why I would say that. You remember Solomon was the richest man on earth. He was a man that spent much of his time in prayer as he was worshiping God. And in his amazing worship, it caused God to move on the heart of the Queen of Sheba and bring the camels of provision that he didn't even really, in a sense, need because he was the wisest, richest man on earth. But God said in one of the things, you've asked the right thing. What can I do for you? And he said, wisdom. I think that when we have the wisdom of God, that's something that we can impart not only in our daily lives to succeed in the kingdom of God the way he wants us to. And I'm going somewhere with that. Hold that thought for just a second. But in order to also pass that on to other people. And you may think, well, wisdom, well, we could just, you know, go on the internet, go AI on people and say, there's an interesting thing that I was listening to through Pastor Bill Winston. And I had you listen to it this morning. Do you remember that?
I do.
And he was talking about what it would take. Basically, this is Lindsay's interpretation. What it would take to change the world for the kingdom of God. What we see in the world. What it would take to transfer everything that we're seeing that is, in a sense, sort of like, unlike God, this is my paraphrasing, and turn it into something that is so godly that it can change nations. Now, in my brain, I think it would only be possible through prayer and interpretation of that prayer through the wisdom of God. I would like to see answers through God's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, they say we look through rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. I would like to see them through God-inspired glasses, so to speak. And I think it would take the wisdom of Solomon. And how did Solomon get wisdom? It was from God. And Solomon did great and mighty things when the Queen of Sheba came up. One translation says the spirit left her. One translation says she fainted. Okay, why? Because he was doing things that no one else on the earth at that time had been doing. Well, that had to be from, as they say, wisdom from on high. I would like to change things in the world so much that only the wisdom of God could direct my path in order for other people to have their lives transformed for the kingdom of God.
Okay. So if I had a superpower, I would want healing to be so much a part of my life.
I knew you'd say that.
That it flowed from God down through me so that whenever I spoke or made a movement, healing flowed through me and people's lives were touched and changed. That'd be my choice.
Can you see the Richard and Lindsay Roberts reason for connecting together? My brain goes in one direction. Your brain goes in another direction. My heart for God goes in one direction. His heart for God goes in another. Now, his heart for God goes for people's lives to be transformed and changed. My heart for God goes for healing while we both go in that same direction. You know, God has these intricate callings for each one of us. And I think if we hearken, listen carefully, diligently listen to the voice of God, I think if we really diligently listen, He'll show us what direction we're bent in our calling, and how we can effectively use that direction to really do something for God's kingdom.
And I think that's probably one reason, my feeling for healing at least, and your feeling as well, is why we're launching into a new 5-day-a-week live healing program mm-hmm. on the Victory Network beginning July the 22nd mm-hmm. For healing, and that full flow of God to come through our lives into the lives of others.
And you know, people may be saying, you know, what were you thinking? Well, he wasn't really, honestly, he wasn't thinking. He was obeying.
No, I was hearing.
Yeah. Okay, so now we know what superpower you want spiritually. But let's not be spiritual for a brief moment, which is hard for him to do. What would you think would be a fun superpower that isn't necessarily scriptural, but it would be kind of a Richard Roberts, let's go the inside of who you really are just as a person?
I'm flying.
Oh, Lord.
That's what Mary Martin sang, who played the part of Peter Pan on Broadway.
Yes.
They flew her across.
Of course you knew her.
They flew her across on the on a wire.
And you always wanted to do that,
flying.
Didn't you?
Who wouldn't want to fly? Who
Me.
Wouldn't, you don't have to go through TSA. You
okay,
don't
that's
have to,
a good point.
You don't have to go okay. and wait.
You're so playing, more like you're, being translated.
Your plane doesn't get delayed.
Okay, you just, I see
I'm
the point.
You just take off.
Okay.
You go wherever you want. You don't worry about fuel. You just fly.
I would like to be this exact same weight.
I thought you were going to say
but
taller.
Stretched about an entire foot taller.
Okay, I knew it.
And believe me, if I were stretched an entire foot taller, no one would really think I was too tall.
But didn't
I could
your brother-
go a foot. I could go an entire foot and people would not look at me as too tall. My co-host on Make Your Day Count, Melissa Lee, is literally, we've measured ourselves. She's almost an entire foot taller than me. And she's not too tall.
Didn't your brother try to stretch you when you were
Absolutely.
Little?
My brother thought.
Did you hold on to the bedpost?
Two things. He thought psychologically, if he signed me up for the girls' basketball team, I would think tall and I would play tall and I would be around tall people and it would inspire me because I love basketball. I love basketball and baseball. And so in order to do that, he actually signed me up. I went to the girls' basketball team where he signed me up, and I thought, I am literally up to their waist. And my grandmother said she was 4'10". I think she was more like 4'8" at the most. I'm not 5'8", 4'8". Of course, my grandfather was Land of the Giants. He was really tall, and I never got that. I got kind of a little bit more my grandmother's side. But when my brother signed me up, instead of it inspiring me, it scared the tar out of me. So I went home and I said, we've got to find a way to fix this. So he said, okay, I know how to fix it. Hold the top of my bedpost. I said, okay. And he tried to stretch me every day. Imagine where I'd be if he hadn't stretched me.
4'8".
Probably. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly, my grandmother loved it. Literally loved being her size. Loved it. I'm talking loved it. I would like to at least be 5'10". And on all of my, like whenever I go into the doctor and they write your height and weight, I know that it's unrealistic, but I always put 5'10". And then I would put by faith.
And the nurse just
And the nurse would look at me and saying, what does this mean? I said, it's 5'10". She said, you're not 5'10". I said, by faith. And she said, no, that's not what this office is about.
Well,
okay,
I would
fine,
fly.
Be that way.
I would fly, Lindsay.
I would
be able
stretch.
To fly anywhere, anytime, anywhere I wanted to go in the world. Just take off.
Wait, I might change it. If I were invisible, then...
Oh, I don't want to be invisible.
I want to be invisible because...
I want people to see me flying.
Of course you do. Okay, now you have it. Now you have it. You've heard it right here. He wants to make sure that if he flies, everybody sees
sure.
that he gets to fly.
Put it on the
national
news.
And they want to be you.
So yes.
Everybody wants to be me so that you can fly and
there
everybody
you go.
Sees it. I would like to, honestly, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be invisible. So it was just for, you know, more emotional reasons and superpowers.
Then you married me and I put you on TV.
Well, what other superpowers are there I could think of? Flying, invisible, stretch.
Well, did you think you were invisible when you tried to come on the TV
superpower,
program?
Superpower, strength.
Did you think you were invisible the day you tried to come on TV and you forgot to put your skirt on and you're just coming out in your slip?
I got to tell you a story. Yes, that really actually happened. I was trying to be so perfect going on television because it was just so against my personality.
This is right after we first got
married. That I laid out my entire outfit. I had a slip, a skirt, a blouse, a jacket, shoes. I even had pantyhose. I mean, I had the whole works. It was all, what were we thinking when those were invented? I just want to toss that in.
We're thinking, guys, I'm telling you that.
I just.
You ever get one of those on me? I don't care what size.
You completely ruined my story.
Well, go ahead.
Not only I can't.
Compose yourself.
Think, but I have a.
Compose yourself.
I have a terrible visual right there.
Just imagine.
I may never recover.
You remember that?
Right there.
Wait,
stop.
Remember the Mel Gibson movie when he tries to put on those pantyhose and he
that
fell?
Was exactly,
that'd be me.
Just right there, you're done. I don't even know what I was going to answer. My skirt, right. Okay, so I went to work and we were doing live television and I raced in my usual time, 3 seconds before we're live on the air.
Yeah.
And I flew in 3 seconds before we went on the air and we had a wardrobe lady there that was, you know, just making sure everything was in order. And she was hollering, stop, Lindsay, stop. And I thought she was going to really compliment me for being all put together and being there, you know, 2 seconds before airtime. And I thought I was really going to get a compliment. And she was like, no, stop. And I'm like, why? And she said, you don't have a skirt on. I was standing there in my slip. I was about to slide into live television in my slip. So needless to say, that is not my superpower. So I don't know if I have any or nor do I ever want to find out if I have any because so far
visual.
I failed miserably at anything.
She got a visual of me in pantyhose.
Oh, no. You know, that'll be the gift that does keep on giving. Your daughter just now fell off her chair. As if being a member of this family isn't weird enough. You had to add your superpower to it. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on that note, we're going to end this, and I'm going to ask, you know, I want you to think back.
You can't
to
follow
when,
that.
I want you to, true. I want you to think back when you were being spiritual, and you said superpower about praying for healing. Let's do that, and let's not interject anything else but that. Let them end on that note.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you a serious question. What are you facing? Is something coming against you right now, and you feel like there's no way out? I mean, it's like you don't know where to go, and you don't know what to do, but you don't want to be where you are. Is that where you are right now? In the authority of the name of Jesus, I pray over you. I believe God has a way for you because he said, I am your way. And I'm setting my faith with you right now that you would trust him so much that you would allow him to lead you and guide your every step. He knows the way through this maze. He knows the way through this jungle. He knows the way through this forest. He knows the way. Put your hand in his hand and let him lead and guide you. I believe he will bring you through. He is not a God to let you fail. And I pray over you right now for healing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet in the authority of Jesus' name. And not just physical healing, but healing in your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, in every area, your job, your business, your ministry, your marriage, every area of your life. I pray for healing today. Let God be your guide. Pray and ask him his will. And when you feel him speaking to you on the inside, you feel an impression, follow that. That's God leading you in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, and amen. So let it be established in the kingdom of God. Thanks so much for joining us here on Entirely Unconventional and on Expect a Miracle with Richard Roberts. I'm Lindsay Roberts. Thanks for being a part of this, and we really pray you'll join us again next time.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Entirely Unconventional. If it impacted you, please consider leaving a review and giving it a 5-star rating. To order Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength, visit discoveryourtruestrength.com. To connect with Lindsay on social media, you can find her at Lindsay Roberts Official. See you next week.